Hello again, I'm Colleen Leung. Today on the Mystery Project, Dr. Johnson investigates. The year is 1776. The action taking place is in David Garrett's theater company at Drury Lane. The mystery of who killed the actor Warburton has everybody running scared. Dr. Samuel Johnson and his sidekick, James Boswell, were present at the scene of the crime. It happened during a performance of Macbeth. Warburton was playing Banquo when he was stabbed to death. Warburton, as it turns out, was not only an actor, but a card cheat and a blackmailer, so there were many motives for murder. However, the list of suspects is even longer. Leo McKern stars as Dr. Samuel Johnson.
Good morning, Buzzy.
Good morning, my friend.
There, move the volumes off that chair, Buzzy. Be seated, be seated.
I've got great news, Johnson. The mystery's solved. It was Rafferty after all.
Oh, indeed, so? I thought we'd absolved him for lack of motive.
Ah, but he had a motive. Mysteries. The officer of the watch has been talking with Davy. Rafferty's confessed to stealing money from the box office earlier this year. Davy wanted the matter kept secret, but Warburton found out and was blackmailing Rafferty, threatened to report him to the justices. Rafferty admits he was getting desperate. He was losing half his weekly pay by extortion.
But has he admitted to the murder?
Why, no, not yet, but it's been obvious. He had motive and opportunity. He had only to sham drunkenness. Well, anyone can do that. And after all, he'd had plenty of practice. It's Rafferty, without a doubt.
Monty, let us examine this business critically and objectively. Now, firstly, let us dispose of fatalism. It is an hypocrisy of misery. What has this affair to do with liberty and necessity? Accidents happen in Macbeth, but in other plays, too. Do you suppose that Warburton would be alive now if he'd been appearing in Hamlet?
No, sir, of course not.
No, very well. Now, consider the play. Duncan is murdered. The regicide seeks to conceal his guilt by placing suspicion on drunken servants. He then has Banquo assassinated. And here we come to the mystery of the third murderer.
Well, what's so mysterious about him?
Why, sir, he shouldn't be there at all. See for yourself. Well, there. Here's a copy of the play. There, now read me the opening lines of Act 3, Scene 3.
Act 3, Scene 1, Scene 2, 3, yes. Enter three murderers. Mm-hmm. First murderer, but who did bid thee join with us? Third murderer, Macbeth. Second murderer, he needs not our mistrust, since he delivers our offices and what we have to do to the direction just.
Macbeth has already planned a deed with the first two villains. They do not expect a third accomplice and a surprise when he appears.
Well, you're right, Johnson. I never realized that before.
So, despite careful preparation, a third murderer joins the other two ruffians. And someone extinguishes the torch, enabling Theonce to escape and the witch's prophecy to be fulfilled.
Oh, very suspicious circumstances.
It is indeed. Oh, the critics have wrangled endlessly about the identity of the third murderer. Some say it was Macbeth himself, come to see that the task was faithfully accomplished. Others claim it was one of the witches, sent to ensure failure.
Very well, Johnson. I grant you have a very pretty conundrum here, but what is it to do with the tragedy of Thursday night?
Why, sir, anyone familiar with the play knows that this obscurity could conceal the identity of a real murderer.
But what about those playing the other parts?
Oh, we'll inquire of Davy. I think we shall find that the minor characters are enacted by such stagehands as were available.
If so, the parts may be taken by different men on different nights.
Exactly. So, Buzzy, we have a play that is notoriously unlucky. It contains a murderer whose identity is cloaked even to his colleagues. And the chief protagonist diverts suspicion from himself by means of a drugged posset and a bloodstained dagger. These facts would weigh powerfully with anyone who held George Warburton in hatred or fear.
They would indeed.
And we know of at least three men who had a motive for murdering him? May not others in the company harbor such a grudge in secret? Delve into the innermost heart of every man, Bossy. I ask you, how many would you find uncontaminated by the innate proclivity of Cain?
Well, that is a very disturbing thought, sir. It means, moreover, that we must revert to suspecting the entire company.
It does indeed, Bossy. Let us visit Davy and subject Forbes' report to further scrutiny. Then, logic, to thy work. Take thou what course thou wilt.
Oh, it's a common enough practice, Johnson. Fewer walking gentlemen I have to pay, the better I'm pleased. The stage assistants carry spears, take small parts, and join in crowd scenes.
Do they interchange parts?
How do you mean, Bossy?
Could a third murderer be played one night by John Doe and the next night by Richard Roe?
Oh, yes, indeed.
I see. Now for the evidence. Now, what, briefly, is the disposition of the premises behind the scenes, Davy?
Well, sir, above the stage is the fly loft. At stage level on the OP side...
The OP, that's opposite prompt.
Correct. Mm. The audience is left side. On the OP side, there are the wings, and behind them, the green room and the scenery store. On the other side...
The prompt side.
Where else? The dressing rooms and this room are on the first floor. At stage level, the wings, property room...
And the wardrobe room.
Oh, okay. These are entered from the corridor running from the prompt corner to the stage door.
But there's also a way from the wardrobe to the stage via the property room. Mrs. Binion directed.
So she did, Bossy.
Now, according to Forbes' report, Haggard, Crane and Edwards confirm each other's presence in the fly loft. In the first floor dressing rooms, Jeremy Payne.
Does anyone corroborate that?
No, Bossy. At stage level, Binny and Blunt were in the wardrobe room. Backstage, we have Rafferty, unconscious under the staircase. Opposite prompt, Barry, Mrs. Dancer, the stagehand, and the players for the banquet scene. Now, these are all vouched for.
Ah.
On the prompt side, visible to the others, it was Mrs. Siddons. On stage were Warburton, John, Nathaniel, and the murderer. In the green room, their testimonies agree with the rest of the company. And Forbes was underneath the stage.
And you, Davy, here in your room?
Yes. You have only my word for that.
So, you're a possible suspect.
Oh, possible, Bossy, but improbable.
Thank you, Johnson, for your improbability.
So, apart from Davy, the only ones whose testimony is unsupported by others are Rafferty, Payne, and Forbes. Well, I tell you, it must have been Rafferty.
Do you agree, Davy?
No. I still think it was Payne.
You have reasons? Proof?
Reasons, but no proof.
Which could apply equally to Rafferty.
Agreed. What is your judgment?
My judgment, sir, is not yet formulated. I have, I confess, a strong suspicion amounting almost to certainty. But I have yet to make comprobation.
Oh, my heavens.
Well, say, come on, man. Tell us which of these three incur your suspicion.
No, sir.
Why not?
Your question, sir, does not admit of an answer. I suspect none.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
Justin. And for good reason. Consider this. No man with the ingenuity to plan this assassination would omit to fabricate an appearance of innocence. He would be at pains to establish the fact that he was elsewhere when the enormity was perpetrated.
But surely the converse does not prove his innocence.
No, by no means, but we may presuppose a strong probability in this case. Now, thus far will I be categorical with you. Our quarry is one whose movements are apparently accounted for. But he has made one mistake. Murder will out. Now, my suspect committed one error, made one statement unsubstantiated by the facts. Re-examine Forbes' report. Then let us consider how we may exclude a confession from the wretch, for we shall never prove his culpability save from his own lips.
Come in.
Forgive my intrusion, Mr. Garrick, but Mrs. Blunt has disappeared.
Oh.
She's nowhere to be found. She's due on stage in 30
minutes. Oh, the devil. Have you searched the theatre?
Oh, yes, I've looked everywhere. Mr. Blunt's distracted.
Well, send him to me, please. And you'd better ask Mrs. Metcalf to take the part.
Yes, sir.
Oh, another confounded misfortune. Will the line stretch out to the crack of doom?
Poor Davy. When sorrows come, they come not single spies within battalions.
Indeed, indeed.
Say that again.
What do you mean?
Well, go on, repeat what you just said.
When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions.
And where does the emphasis falter?
What? Oh, I see. Well, I suppose on single.
Exactly.
They come not single spies.
Exactly. These misfortunes are not single or disjunct. They are interconnected. Why has Meg Blunt disappeared?
Oh, really, Johnson, how should I know? She may have fallen out with her husband.
Davy?
I don't know. She may have been unhappy. She had a furious quarrel with the wardrobe mistress.
Why?
Well, on some trivial matter, she said her costume wouldn't fit.
Exactly. Her costume wouldn't fit.
What of it, sir?
Why wouldn't it fit?
Well, how can I tell?
The woman is pregnant, sir.
Pregnant? That's impossible.
Why?
Because her husband is impotent.
Ha! Is no other man capable of making her pregnant?
Merciful heavens, Johnson, you don't
say. And if she is pregnant by another man, how can she face her husband? She's probably gone in search of an abortionist.
Mr. Garrick, sir, you must help me. I'm desperate.
Now,
my wife has disappeared.
Yourself, Mr. Blunt. We shall do all we can to find your wife.
But she's left without a trace. No note, no message. She's never done this before.
Have you informed the watch?
Well, I...
Excuse me interrupting,
sir. Oh, not now, Binny, if you please. I'll attend to you later.
It's urgent, sir. Very urgent. I've a note for Mr. Boswell from Mrs. Sidney.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Binny.
Well, she said to give it to him straight away.
Why? It's urgent, all right. She says...
We'll hear it later, Bossy. And let us first give our minds to Mr. Blunt's predicament.
This may assist us.
No, not now, sir. Not here.
Johnson, I...
Sir, I command you to be silent.
Dr. Johnson, sir, I defer willingly to your judgment in most matters, but in this instance, you must allow me to know best.
Very well. You know best. Read us your message.
Dear Mr. Boswell, I must see you immediately after the performance. I know the answer that has eluded us, and I'm very apprehensive. Please come to the green room when the curtain falls. Signed, Sarah Siddons.
When did she give you this, Binny?
20 minutes ago, sir. Been looking for Mr. Boswell all over. Oh, Mr. Forbes told me he was with you.
Mr. Blunt, I believe your wife is friendly with Mrs. Siddons.
She is, sir.
Well, perhaps this will throw some light on her disappearance. Let's hope so.
I agree. And with your permission, Mr. Garrick, I'll go and inform the watch.
Do so by all means.
Why, I hope I did right, Mr. Garrick.
Yes, Binny, you did the right thing. Now, you may go now.
No, madam. Wait, just a little.
Yes, sir?
Yes, there's something else.
Yes, sir?
You said Mr. Blunt was in the wardrobe room on Thursday night?
Oh, that's right, sir.
For how long?
Oh, half an hour, sir.
And was it with you all the time?
Oh, yes, sir.
While you mended his costume?
That's right.
Why didn't he leave his cloak with you?
Oh, it wasn't just his cloak, sir. He ripped the skirt of his coat and his breeches, too.
His breeches were torn?
Oh, yes, sir. Horrible tear. It's a wonder he didn't do himself a nasty injury.
Madam, did he divest himself of his nether garments and stand before you in a state of nudity?
If you mean, did he take off his breeches in front of me? Well, certainly not, sir. I'll not have goings-on of that sort. This ain't Covent Garden, you know. We're a respectable theatre.
Yes.
He went behind the screen like they all do.
Yes. And how long, madam, was he concealed by the screen?
Well, all the time. He goes behind the screen, throws his breeches over the top, then he sits down and studies his lines for the next...
Can you assure me that he studied lines for half an hour behind the screen? Can you be certain that he didn't steal through the other door to the property room and the stage? Can you be categorical about this, madam?
No, sir. I can't say.
No, and can we be certain that Blunt is now in search of his wife? Or does he seek to prevent Mrs. Siddons giving us the information promised in her note?
Say, God, why did I read the note?
The trap! Oh, Bozzy, the trap. Mrs. Siddons mustn't use that trap.
Good God,
no. Now, with you and Davy. Yes. Go below stage as fast as you can. Wait. Hurry, there's not a moment to lose.
This way, Bossy. Mind your head. Mr. Siddons!
Mrs. Siddons!
Mrs. Siddons, are you there? Mr. Garrick and Mr. Boswell! Oh, thank heaven you're safe. Stand off the platform at once.
Now, Mr. Boswell, what you
done? Madam, get off that platform immediately. Sarah, quick! The lantern, Bossy. Give me the lantern. There's somebody there. Awesome, Davy! He's climbing the ladder!
What's happening?
I'll explain later. Are you all right, Sarah?
Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Boswell. Oh. The trap door. It fell down. I might have been killed.
You're safe now. Never mind about your entrance. Come, we must join the others. Hold my hand. This way.
Mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to no one thing.
Did you see him, Hobbs?
Who, sir?
Why, Blunt, of course.
Yes, he ran past me and down the corridor.
Bring down the curtain.
What?
The curtain! Have it down at once.
Oh, very well, sir.
And then send for the watch. Tell them to come to the stage door. Quickly, man.
Yes.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you. Let me know.
What the devil's going on? You see a doctor's apparition, and now the curtain. Down in the middle.
I'm stopping the performance, Barry. No time to explain. Go before the curtain and apologize. Say what you like, but clear the theater. Now make haste. We have a madman at large.
And I have the key.
Dr. Johnson, what are you doing here?
Sir, your crime is discovered.
What the devil are you talking about?
Thomas Blunt, I charge you with the murder of George Warburton.
You must be demented, sir. Come, give me the key. I'm in great haste.
There's no escape, sir. The watch have been summoned.
This is madness. Why should I kill my best friend?
Because you discovered his affair with your wife.
That's preposterous, sir. Even if that were true, I was in the wardrobe room when George was stabbed.
No, sir, you were not. But you were at pains to make it appear so. While Mrs. Bingham believed you were concealed behind the screen, you stole into the property room, assumed Rafferty's cloak, and committed the murder.
Farrago of nonsense. Everyone knows it was Rafferty.
Rafferty was rendered insensible by the drug you surreptitiously administered to him. You laid your plans with great cunning, sir. But you committed one error.
Indeed, sir. Pray, what was that?
Your pretext for gaining Mrs. Binion's unwitting collusion. I subjected the scenery, and especially the archway, to meticulous scrutiny. I discovered no projection or excrescence which could possibly have damaged your garments. And this fact was confirmed independently by Mr. Forbes. From this, I infer that you deliberately tore your clothing.
Now, please, to be ingenious, sir. I haven't time to argue. Perhaps this will persuade you to change your mind. Give me the key.
That weapon, sir, confirms your guilt.
You may have suspicions, sir, but no proof.
You yourself have supplied it. You are holding it at my head.
Aye, sir. And I'll blow your brains out unless you give me the key.
Come, sir. Give me your weapon and submit to justice.
I won't. I can't. Stand back. Stand away or I fire.
Johnson! Are you there?
No, don't come any further, Davy. Stay where you are, all of you. He's armed with a pistol.
Sir! Thomas Blunt! Throw down your weapon before you do any more mischief. The watch I hear will arrest you.
Over! Over in the
face! Blunt! Can you hear me?
Do I hear you? I despise you. I despise you all. Traitors, letters, goats and monkeys.
Come, sir, surrender yourself. I beg you.
Never. Never.
Better be with the dead, whom we, to gain our peace, have sent to peace, than on the torture of the mind, to lie in restless ecstasy.
No, but no!
Samuel, are you safe? Are you unhurt?
Oh, yes. Davy, I am unhurt. I'm shaken, God knows, but unhurt.
Oh, thank heavens for that. I feared for your life. He was desperate.
Once a man has resolved to kill himself, he has nothing to fear. Is Mrs. Siddon safe?
Aye, we got there just in time. Blunt had prized the hinges off the trap door. It was held in place by the bolt alone. When that was torn, the whole thing descended. Her death would have been certain had we delayed. I brought the curtain down, and Barry is making my apologies.
Oh, I think, Davy, a modest libation of your brandy would restore my equanimity.
Of course, Johnson. Of course. Go to my room and help yourself. I'll fetch Fozzie and Mrs. Siddons.
There, my dear. It's all over now. You're quite safe.
I knew something was going to happen. That horrible trap door. I felt sure there was someone else down there, but it was dark. I couldn't see. I'm so frightened.
Ah, come along, my poor child. Dry your eyes. No one's going to harm you now. We'll look after you.
Oh, you don't know how glad I was to see you. How brave you were. And you came just in time. How did you know? You did know, didn't you? You knew it was Blunt.
Yes, Sarah, I knew. By a process of logic, inexorable logic, and careful deduction.
And Dr. Johnson, he knew too, didn't he?
Why, yes. He showed remarkable acumen in following my reasoning.
Why, here we have it. We know that several of the company wished Warburton dead. He was an unsavory character, a bully and an extortioner. Such a man would not scruple to cuckold his best friend. When it appeared that his wife had a guilty secret, I remembered Blunt's reputation for insane jealousy. How he came to suspect her unfaithfulness, I know not.
I do, Dr. Johnson. Huh? Warburton and Blunt were playing cards with Jemmy Payne. George paid Tom a sovereign. It was a keepsake that Tom gave Meg when they were married. It had a small hole in it with a motto.
Yeah.
Meg said she lost it, but Tom didn't believe her. She was frightened of him.
Oh, she had good reason. He was a dangerous man. Oh, when he realized you knew his secret, he sought the opportunity to silence you. And chance gave it to him.
Oh, so you admit, sir, that chance had a hand in this affair.
Chance has a hand in all our affairs. What signifies is how the human will responds to the vicissitudes of fortune.
Do you recall, sir, how only a few nights ago you postulated that art must imitate nature?
Aye, Buzzy, but in this sad business, nature has imitated art with a vengeance.
Dear Mr. Boswell, dear Dr. Johnson, it's very late. I shall say good night.
Oh, yes.
Thank you again for saving my life. I shall be forever beholden to you.
Your most devoted servant, Sarah. May you have success and acclaim in your new engagement.
Thank you, sir.
Good night, my dear. You have shown great courage and fortitude. I wish Drury Lane had dealt more gently with you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrick. You've been very kind. Dr. Johnson, I can never repay the debt I owe you. May I be permitted to kiss you?
By all means, my dear. The debt is now paid in full, ma'am. Indeed, there is a handsome surplus which will provide me with an annuity for the rest of my days.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, my dear. Charming, charming. Well, now, Bossy, it's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning. Davy still has his accounts to do. I shall go home, if not to bed, then to finish ordering my books. Well, we bid you good night, Davy.
Good night, Johnson.
Come, Bossy, come.
Good night, Bossy.
Good night, Davy.
Monty. Here we are at number 8. Is all well with you?
I believe so, sir.
I am perplexed by your unwonted taciturnity. Have I incurred your displeasure?
Why, no, sir, no.
Well, what then is the cause of your preoccupation?
I perceive, sir, that you do not appear to be wholly impervious to the attractions of Sarah Sittons.
I am an old man, sir, and must be grateful. I own I was much affected by her charming salutation.
She might have bestowed a similar favor upon me.
Why, Bozzy, can it be that you're jealous?
Well, sir, I fancy I was to some degree instrumental in her deliverance.
Oh, so you were, Bozzy, so you were indeed, had it not been for your timely intervention. Mrs. Simmons might well have perished.
Just so, sir, just so.
Why, sir, future playgoers will refer to Mrs. Simmons as the actress whose life was preserved by James Boswell, heir apparent to the Laird of Affleck, Bachelor of Laws, and Man of Letters.
Do you really think so?
I'm certain.
Sarah Simmons and the Laird of Affleck. Sir... One thing puzzles me, a triviality.
Well, what is it?
When Blunt emerged from the wardrobe room half-clad, did he not risk conspicuity? Even in these degenerate days, a man deprived of his breeches invites attention.
Why, sir, may not a man wear two pairs of breeches as easily as one?
Was The Mystery Project and a presentation of Dr. Johnson Investigates by Richard Brayshaw. Leo McKern played the title role, and Edward D'Souza was James Boswell. The play was produced by Brian Miller at the BBC in London. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. The coordinating producer is Barry Morgan.